Next one. Worldly Christians. This actually comes from a sister that is in this place. Is there anything wrong, even damning, about seeker-friendly, Jesus loves you church culture? Seems a lot of professing Christians are attracted to this. A lot of them come across as very loving, but their form of love tolerates sin. But it seems pointing sin out in one's life is actually loving. These people tend to be worldly, immodest. They participate in recreational dating, flaunting liberties in the name of Jesus. And I know this sister told me that she has in mind people that are out there that she sees on Facebook, but she talks about just professing Christians putting pictures up where they're in bikinis, yet proclaiming Jesus. Does wearing a bikini make you unsaved? What category are they in? Are they ignorant? Do they genuinely love the Lord? Are they deceived? How do you deal with such individuals? What do you all say? How do you deal with such individuals?
With loving correction.
Yeah.
Correction. And I think on that note that they come across as very loving, but their form of love tolerates sin. But I think that what happens with a lot of those folks is when you confront them about their sin, you are seen, if they are participating in Christian liberties and you come attack their Christian liberties, what are you?
Unloving.
What's that?
Unloving.
Well, unloving and what?
Judgmental.
Judgmental, legalistic. That's what you're going to be accused of. And that's typically what happens. And so, yes, we can seek to correct. If we've got an open door, we can seek to, you know, again, there is a form of godliness that lacks the genuineness and the power. And you know what? We all have to make decisions about who we're going to avoid. There is leaven that leavens the lump. And like I say, sometimes there are people we need to avoid, and there's leaven that's in the church that hasn't been dealt with in a formal way to extract it yet. Or maybe it's coming at us through whatever, social media, through different forms of communication we may have encounters. I mean, I would say this, look, why would you read a book that touts that? I wouldn't. And why would you spend time looking at their pictures in bikinis? I don't think that's probably what you want to do. And if you have opportunity with folks like that, and there's an opportunity to say something, even if it's in somebody that's a friend, it's like the most loving thing, like they point out, one of the most loving things you can do is if you see sin in somebody's life, you see something where you think that their thinking is not right. I mean, if it's got to do with some kind of major thing, yeah, there's a place to bring correction, to bring light to it.
But they have a teachable spirit.
Yeah, that's... Because if they just shut you down and you're legalistic, I would just say, you know what? Those are people that I'm going to avoid. Those are people that it's... And you know, if they're not teachable, and it comes out, they show their fangs, they show that they're not teachable, that they don't really want to hear about this. I mean, you want to be biblical. You want to take them to passages in Scripture that show the kind of holiness that... You know the idea of like Peter, you know, when he said to the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinful man, depart from me. Or you think of, Isaiah, as he's before the Lord, high and lifted up, the train filled the temple, and he's just, woe is me, I'm lost, I'm undone. I mean, a sense of God. You know what typically happens? You find this, even within a church setting. You know how they say, birds of a feather flock together. What I, like, I can think of a person that I recognized that even at GCC typically had the ability to find the least godly professing Christians. They tend to attract each other. And a sister who seeks counsel from the sisters concerning her marriage, but she's got wrong views of bailing on her marriage. She really needs to work on the marriage, and rather she's looking for a way out, and she has kind of systematically worked through the sisters. But you know the sisters that speak straight to her and give her good counsel, she doesn't want to go back and talk to them again. There's like two or three sisters that tend to really cater to her ungodly ways that she's thinking, and so she keeps going back to them. And that's what you find in the church a lot of times, is people of a worldly stripe tend to find each other. And so all I'm saying is sometimes there's almost a natural default avoidance that takes place, just kind of how people are attracted to one another. So, worldly Christians. You know, one of the things that Scripture says is we are to be children of light. And children of light have a unique responsibility of exposing the darkness. We are supposed to call out the deeds of darkness that are around us. And obviously that is in the world around us. That's in your workplace. That's in your school. But it's also, look, it is a hard thing. You confront people about their sin, you are going to find that you are not going to be liked in certain circles. You're going to be an outcast in circles. You go into your family and you start shining light into the dark places, you are going to be, you know, they're going to treat you like they treated Jesus. But that is a responsibility, that we are children of light. Children of light do have a responsibility to shine that light in the world. And you have to recognize, for a lot of you, the families you're in, the workplaces you're in, the classrooms you're in, wherever you find yourself, a lot of times you are the only Christian. A lot of times. And if it's like, if you don't shine the light in there, and you know, it can feel really loving to just pat each other on the back and laugh with them when you see some glaring thing in their life. But even if it costs you a relationship, you just say, we need to do what's right. God will honor that. And you know, it's sometimes the difficult thing you have to say to somebody. God uses it. The person that's you know, even thinking about the conversion of Sandro. I don't think he's here tonight. But, it took, he heard Xander's testimony coming down from Austin. But then I know that two brothers in the church said, I don't know if Xander said anything to, Xander's here, right?
Yeah.
Did you say anything hard to him?
Not hard.
He just heard your testimony, but it convicted him. But then two brothers, Hunter and Miguel, actually said something to him that was a bit more sharp. They called some things out. And for him, it wasn't so much what they saw in his life, it was what they heard in his testimony that just didn't line up, but they call it out. And, you know, our church has often over the years had this reputation of, and I remember a family that left because I think it was James was, we had a bunch of young radicals in the church at the time, and everybody asks everybody about their testimonies and what's happening in their life. And there's a lot of talk in the church. Like somebody I think you folks were saying, you've already been asked about your testimony a few times. So we have a church that does that, but I just want to encourage you, do it all the more. I mean, we need to be faithful at this. I remember Craig saying one time that when he was still working out in the secular world, if I can use that terminology, some don't like it, but he was working for a place in Seguin, and he went out to the tool room, and the guy used the Lord's name in vain, and Craig called him out on it. He said, that guy went off on him. Anyways, I mean, that kind of thing might happen. You shine light, sometimes it gets a volatile reaction, but you know what? Sometimes the people that react most violently are the people most under conviction about what you've said, and you know, sometimes you gotta, like, I've had a lot of opportunities to share the truth with my mom, but there's some specific sin in her life that I've been thinking about how to speak to her about. But we want to be faithful. Okay. Anything else to be said about worldly Christians?
I was just thinking, as a note to the individual, from 1 Thessalonians 1:5, the Apostle Paul says, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And just the idea there that, I know obviously if these people are on Facebook and you don't even have any contact with them, that's one thing. But if there's people, there's so much that can be said for somebody that convicts somebody else without even saying a word. Kind of like the wife and the marriage illustration there, but then even amongst the brethren where you have that one person who isn't going out and, you know, looking for every speck in people's eyes, but is just living it to where the people look and it's like, wow, why doesn't my life look like that? And so,
yeah, obviously we need to be balanced. We expose the deeds of darkness in the world, and we definitely are to be purveyors of truth, but we need to be gracious with people as well. And but you know, I mean, one of the things that comes out as far as worldly Christians is obviously in the realm of worldly Christians. If you love the world, you don't have the love of the Father in you. And I have, through the years, had opportunity to sit with people and just say, you know, I've been studying this book for quite a number of years right now, and I have a good feel for what genuine Christianity looks like. And if I'm honest, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes at Judgment Day, despite the fact you profess to be a Christian. Because Scripture says this about what genuine Christianity is, and when I look at your life, here's what I see. And I'm not trying to be judgmental here. I'm simply comparing your life to Scripture, and I want to be faithful to your soul. And you know, the guy that gets won by his wife without a word, it doesn't mean that he's never had the gospel. It's just there's wisdom. Once you have dispensed the truth, you can get to the place where there is no reason to continue to, you know, put the sticky note on the bathroom sink saying repent to your husband. Yeah. It's like all that's going to do is provoke him. You can get to the place where your godly life, and I think our families, I think they can be parents, I think it can be aunts and uncles and cousins, and you know, you've spoken the truth to them, you've gotten the gospel in their ear, they think you're a radical, they think you're a nut. And yeah, then there's a powerful witness to a godly life.
With my family, when I was first saved, the first maybe year or two, it was constant with me trying to get them to recognize they're deceived. And then I realized, you know, what Josh was saying, I need to, you know, seek to show this example. And it wasn't until more recently I'm trying to circle back and just show them different aspects of their life that is clearly a sign of not having this trust in Christ. So, but doing it, you know, in love and with patience. So.
Okay, the next one, number 4. I can't have assurance.